We'll talk a little Red Sox as we welcome back to the program from Boston Sports Journal our friend Sean McAdam. Hello there, Sean.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. How about yourself?
Good. Well, it's an off night, so you know what that means. Heading to see some music.
I hope so. Who are you going to see?
Going to see Lindsey Buckingham.
Oh, I am so jealous.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I was just reading an LA Times piece with him today talking about the new album and the tour and, of course, the whole whatever the situation is this week with Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, ever-changing.
He's great, though. I mean, people talk about Stevie Nicks. Yep, she's wonderful. But to me, the heart and soul of Mac was always Lindsey Buckingham.
Completely agree.
Well, listen, let's talk about Red Sox, because here we are. I don't care what happens. 20 games left, not only playing meaningful games, but here the Red Sox are back in second place and in possession of that first wild card. I certainly didn't see this coming.
Yeah, certainly. If you go back about 10 days or so, Rich, where this all began and you had the COVID outbreak and everything else, it did not look good for where the Red Sox were headed over the final, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And as recently as Tuesday night, when they had, been beaten up pretty badly by Tampa the first two games, they'd lost three in a row. They had failed to take advantage of the Yankees going into a bit of a skid, but you're right, with 20 games to go, they lead the wild card chase. It's hardly wrapped up for them, but they are in the proverbial position of controlling their own destiny. And I would say 12-8 over the final 20, that probably gets them one of the spots.
And last night, just another great example of the resilience of this team, a great pitching effort by Nate Eovaldi. It looked like they might waste that effort down 1-0. And then Hunter Renfro with a huge two-run homer and then an absolutely perfect gold glove type of throw to nail Joey Wendell to win the game. And look, not everything has gone right for Chaim Bloom, but the signing of Hunter Renfro is one of the great free agent pickups of the year.
There's no question. Free made this winter. For a little more than $3 million, they continue to control him for the next couple of years. He'll go to arbitration and get himself a nice raise. Maybe there'll be something about a longer extension or buying out a couple of years of arbitration from him this winter, but there's no second-guessing that one. Some other moves have not worked out quite as well. Some of the pitching moves, I think they'd like to revisit $10 million for Garrett Richards, as much as he's contributed in the bullpen of late. But when you look at the defense that Renfro has given them in right, when you look at the arm strength and 16 assists, which leads all of Major League Baseball, and the fact that he's going to finish with more than 30 homers, having hit in the bottom half of the order for most of the year, that's one of the bargain deals, not only with the Red Sox, but throughout the game last winter.
And Nate Eovaldi, too, he doesn't have the wins because hasn't always had a whole lot of offensive support there, but he's been a pretty consistent guy all season, getting them often six, sometimes into the seventh inning, and not many guys in the rotation are doing that. He's turned in a terrific effort.
He really has. There have been a couple of clunkers along the way, but every pitcher's going to have that over 30-plus starts. And the key, I think, with Eovaldi, and this is sort of self-evident, is that he's been healthy all year, and that's been something that's been very rare for him over the course of his career. You don't have a lot of guys in the game with two Tommy John surgeries. He had one back in high school and then another one in between his stops with the Yankees and Rays, and it seems like there was some fallout from that second surgery. Remember, he had some chips in his elbow that had to be taken care of. He missed some time even last year in the shortened season, but he's taken the ball every 5 days this year and most of the time kept them in things. And you're right, the win total couldn't be more deceiving. I think over his last six starts, He's got an ERA of 1.81. They're 5-1, the team is, in those six starts, and yet he only has one win in those six.
We're talking with Sean. Talking with Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal here on Downtown. So, look, the best opponent for the Red Sox of late, the toughest opponent, hasn't been another team. It's been those COVID issues. Where are they? When do they start getting more guys back?
Yeah, I think they'll start getting them as soon as tomorrow. It's funny. It's kind of like the Florida airlift arrives on the south side of Chicago tomorrow, and they've got all the guys who went down during that series at Tropicana Field, and that includes Sawamura, it includes Barnes, it includes Martin Perez, it includes Xander Bogaerts, most importantly. So they're starting to trickle back. You know, they've already gotten a couple of guys back now with Kike Hernandez there. Christian Arroyo's getting a little closer. So it seems as if they're close to being at the point where the worst is behind them as far as the outbreak. Now, if we've learned anything, it's that you never know when a positive case could trigger some others. That's what they went through for the past 2 weeks. But between some immunity and guys coming back, they look to be in far better shape for the final 2 weeks. And then if they play well enough into October.
Well, they need everybody back as soon as possible because this road trip is a tough one against two very, very good opponents.
Yeah, you're right. They've got to worry about the White Sox 4-3 over the weekend, and that's a team that's led its division for just about all season long. They're obviously going to be in the postseason. And then they go west to Seattle, and that's a tough trip to, you know, kind of go out, play three games, and turn around and come back and finish up that last homestand. But you've also got the Mariners who have made up some ground out west. They just finished up a big series with Houston, and they're like Toronto, kind of charging from behind while Oakland drops back. Seattle has moved up. As I said, I still think the Red Sox are in a position where if they play above 500 for the final 3 weeks, they should be okay. But a lot is going to be determined between tomorrow night and next Wednesday afternoon, because other than the Yankees as part of the final homestand, these six games are probably the toughest remaining in terms of quality opponent and than adding in the on-the-road factor.
Sean, where is Chris Sale in terms of postseason? If they get in a position where it's a one-game playoff, will Chris Sale be at the point where they can hopefully get more than five and a third innings out of him?
Yeah, I think for the most part, Rich, he's kind of built up there in terms of arm strength and how far he can go. I think the issue with him going five and a third or six innings, and I know he hasn't gotten past six innings, has been some inefficiency on his part where, you know, you've got hitters fouling pitches off early, running deep counts and getting that pitch count up in the first couple of innings. I don't think it's so much them limiting him or making sure that he doesn't throw too much. It's Sale not being as efficient, getting quicker outs, which I know that he wants to do. Maybe that approach has to change. Maybe he becomes a little bit more aggressive. But he's been up around 90 pitches a few times. You're probably not going to see them let him go more than 100, I would think, just to be on the safe side. But he should be getting to the point where he can get six and a thirds out of 95 or 100 pitches.
Does it matter whether they're the first or second wild card? They finish the regular season on the road. Does it make a significant difference whether they get to come home for one game or have to travel for another?
Well, I guess a lot of that is, where are you traveling? You've got a couple of long flights with teams that are in the wild card picture. Oakland, even though they faded some. Seattle coming up on the rail a little bit. I don't think you want to finish up in Washington and then have to make a cross-country flight for one game, and then in all likelihood, if you win that, turn around and have to fly to St. Petersburg to start the division series two games later. So from a convenience standpoint, you certainly would rather be at home. And let's face it, from a competitive standpoint, they're a better team at home. I don't think there's a team in baseball that wouldn't say that about themselves. The Red Sox are much better offensively at home. They're going to finish probably with a winning record on the road, but not nearly as dominant as they've been at Fenway. Really, back to about Memorial Day when they opened up and had fans again, they've been a very good home team. Their offensive numbers are much better at Fenway. So all things considered, I mean, I don't know how far you push that. You know, do you go into that last series in Washington if you're a half game or a game nip and tuck with the Yankees? Do you go all out to try to win home field? I think there's a limit to what they'll do, but certainly if you gave them their druthers, they'd rather be at home than on the road.
All right, there you go. Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal. Sean, appreciate you making time for us as always on an off night, and have a great time. Enjoy the concert tonight and look forward to hearing all about it.
All right, Rich. Always good talking to you. Thanks.
Sean McAdam on Downtown.